Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of faith-filled words was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in the UK and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I was preaching this in a church one time, and the pastor stopped me and said, "Brother, we don't even get angry at the devil around here." And I said, "That's the problem right there, amen. The Bible says that you're supposed to abhor that which is evil." That means hate evil. Evil isn't only sin. Homosexuality, lying, stealing, adultery, murder, theft. Sin is sickness and disease. That all came as a result of sin. It doesn't mean that you're a sinner or a bad person if you're sick, but it means it's a result of sin. It was not what God created us to be. You need to hate sickness. As long as you can put up with being sick, you will be. But when you get to where I refuse this, I fight this, I'm angry at this, yell at it. You know, we had Deborah give her testimony this morning, and she was talking about how she would stand and yell against those thoughts and refuse to accept the fact that her children were autistic. And yet the world will come against you and tell you that you're absolutely stupid. Embrace it. This is just the way it is. You're going to have to live a life of coping. No, you need to get to where you refuse autism, where you refuse all of these things and say, "I will not live this way. This is not the way my life is going to be." I know many of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird. I'm telling you, this is how you're supposed to live. When Thomas said, "I will not believe," that was a choice of his will. He chose to believe that Jesus could not be raised from the dead. He saw Jesus crucified. He saw what happened, and he said, "I will not believe anything I can't see." And so it goes on to say, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." And look at this, verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said this. He hadn't appeared to any of the disciples since Thomas had said this. So for Jesus to say this to Thomas showed that truly he was God. He knew all things. He wasn't present. He hadn't talked to anybody who was present. And yet he knew everything that Thomas had said. And he said, "Stick your finger into the print of the nails. Put your hand into my side where the spear pierced me. And don't be faithless, but believing." He would be unjust to command that if Thomas couldn't change. Again, most of us, we have just embraced the fact that we're weaklings, that we don't have this. We have embraced the ungodliness of this world where they think we're just an evolved animal. You were made in the image of God. You can believe. There's a part of you that is full of faith, that has the ability to believe. The Lord didn't tell him to do something that was impossible. He says, "Don't be faithless, believe." Some people think, "Well, I'd just be a hypocrite if I started talking like I believe, because the truth is I still have doubts." You know what? We'll always have doubts. Every time I speak the Word of God to somebody, I have the possibility to doubt. I have thoughts that go contrary, but I choose to reject that negative, and I stand on what the Word of God says, and I choose to believe. If you're looking for a time that you'll never have a reservation, that you'll never have a doubt, that you'll just believe it and there is zero opportunity to doubt, then you aren't going to get that until you die and go to be with the Lord and your mind is renewed. There's always going to be something that you could believe that if you wanted to, but I choose to believe. I choose to stand on the Word of God. I speak what I believe. And people say, "But I'd be a hypocrite if I do that." It just depends on what you believe is a real you. Do you think this carnal mind and all of your messed up thinking is the real you? The truth is, if you've been born again, there's a new you on the inside that is perfect. that has the mind of Christ in it. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Colossians 3:10. You've been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you. That's not talking about your little peanut brain up here. It's talking about in your spirit. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Most people think, well, I don't know all things. I can prove it to you. I was looking for my glasses and they were on my head and I couldn't find them. You don't know all things with your little peanut brain, but in your spirit you have the mind of Christ. You know all things. So it just depends on which you believe is the real you. Do you think the part of you that doubts is the real you? I'm telling you, that's the part of you that caused Jesus to have to come to this earth and die. But when you got born again, there's a new you on the inside that is righteous and holy and pure, and you have the mind of Christ and you know all things. And it just depends on which you believe is the real you. If you think you've been born again and that you are what God's Word says that you are, then you are a hypocrite to indulge your doubts. If you feel like you're a hypocrite to speak the word, that's because you consider the real you to be the physical, emotional you, not the spiritual you. You need to find out who you are in Christ. You need to change identities and find out who you are. The Lord told him not to be faithless, but believing. And look at this. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. When Thomas saw Jesus and he looked and he saw the print in his hands and he saw Jesus resurrected from the dead, he fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. And look at Jesus' answer. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The Lord said there is a greater blessing on the people who will believe the word without having to have a physical proof or evidence, but you believe the word. He says you believe because you saw, but yea, rather blessed are those who believe without seeing. You know, I was raised in the Baptist church. I was told that all miracles passed away with the apostles. You could be born again in this day, but you couldn't have miracles and there wasn't supernatural things and God didn't speak to people and things like this. And when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just started showing me that all that was not true and that God still is doing miracles. And I started believing for miracles. I started listening to people who talked about that they heard God in an audible voice. They saw visions. They dreamed dreams. And when I found out that all this stuff was true and that I'd been missing out on this my entire life, man, I got to seeking God. I wanted to see Him. I wanted a vision. I wanted a dream. I was praying that I could hear voices, that I could do all of these things. And I mean, I was fasting and praying and trying to put pressure on God that He would manifest Himself in some visible, tangible way. And that's when the Lord showed me the difference between the centurion's faith and Thomas's faith. And he said, Andrew, he says, I can speak to you in an audible voice. I can show myself to you visible. I can do all kinds of things. God has done that. He still does it today. He says, if you pressure me, you can get those things. But then he showed me this and he said, yea, rather, there is a greater blessing on you if you would just take my word and believe it. You can operate in a greater anointing if you, the greatest faith is the faith that says, speak the word only. God, I see it in the word. That's sufficient. I don't have to have two cats walk this way and one dog walk that way to confirm to me that this was your word. I don't have to have somebody call out my name and prophesy over me. God, you show me in the Word of God and I'm going to believe it. And I made that decision. And you know, to this day, I've never seen anything visible. I've never heard an audible voice from God. I've never had any of the physical manifestations that other people have. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's something wrong, but I just chose. And I said, God, I want to operate in your highest faith. I want to operate in the greatest degree of faith. And if just trusting your word is better. If you would rather me do that, then that's what I want to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith pleases God. And God will meet you where you are. There may be some of you that, you know, have seen things and heard things, and there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you inferior. Some of the great men and women of God have seen things. But I'm saying, based on these scriptures, the greatest way of walking in faith, the thing that pleases God the most, is when you take the Word and believe it without having to see, without having to have something proven to you. Most people only use the Bible as like a stepping stone to something. They will sit there and pray and read the Bible and quote scriptures hoping to have an encounter with God. And then the moment they have a visible thing, the moment something supernatural happens, they'll throw the Bible down because they were only using it as a means to the end of having something with the Lord. But I'm telling you that you need to take the Word of God and get to where you believe it. And if there's a visible manifestation that comes, then it ought to be like Jesus in the 12th chapter of the book of John. He cried out and he said, "Oh God, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." And an audible voice out of heaven came and said, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." And Jesus turned around, and the scripture says that the people heard it. Some of them said it was the voice of an angel. Other people said it thundered. They heard the audible voice of God, and people were able to explain it away and say it's thunder. You know what? If you don't have a heart to believe, it doesn't matter. If you heard an audible voice from God, you'd be able to explain it away somehow or another. And Jesus turned around and he says, "This voice didn't come for my sake." In other words, he didn't have to have Jesus, God the Father, speak to him in an audible voice. He had faith. He knew the Word of God. But he said, "This voice came for your sake so that you might believe."
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the power of faith-filled words. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in Buxton, England. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1075 for CD or R3218 for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RD08 titled "Put God's Word in Your Heart" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a part of our Charis Bible College. Not only do we have this campus here in Colorado Springs with about 500 students that is growing, but also we have online Bible school where you can become a part of a group, and there is a discipline to it. But also we have a correspondence course where you can take this by DVD. There's many different ways for you to take advantage. We also have 18 different campuses scattered around the world with more coming online all of the time. So I encourage you to call and check out all of the different ways that you could be involved. You can call 719-635-1111 and ask for some information about our Charis Bible College.